Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, these words from St. Paul's pen as he writes to the Christians in Thessalonica after he had just talked about how they were being persecuted in that church. He says this. He says, "We pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." This is the word of God. Please be seated. It was a mid-afternoon in Sichuan, central China. It was May 12, 2008, when suddenly hell broke loose. It's, I guess, the best way to describe it. An earthquake hit, magnitude 8.0 on the Richter scale. And all around the city, concrete panels and slabs and crumpled steel and crushed tiles had buried tens of thousands of people. And for days afterward, you could hear the cry of the living buried screaming for help from under all the rubble. I can't even begin to imagine the horror of what it must be like to hear cries like that. And then how much worse if it's someone you love. But Paul knew something of that feeling. The Christians in Thessalonica were very dear to him as loved ones and friends. In chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul describes his relationship with the Thessalonians as a nursing mother taking care of her own children. And he also says it's like a father with his children. That's how dear these Thessalonians were to Paul. And he even says, "We were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become so dear to us." But then the earthquake hit. Paul was run out of town by a mob of jealous Jews who were envious of his preaching success and how he was winning Jews and Gentiles to the Christian faith. You can read about that in Acts chapter 7. And Paul had to run for his life under the cover of night. Now, I don't know how that all measures on the Richter scale, but this was a big shakeup in the life of Paul, but perhaps even a bigger shakeup in the lives of these dear Thessalonian friends of his that he had to leave behind. Because in the aftershocks of this earthquake, it is they who were being buried under a seismic wave of persecution. The ringleader, Paul, had escaped into the night. And so the Jews turned their wrath on Paul's friends in the church, and persecution became their lot. And so Paul says to them, "You suffered from your own countrymen the same things the Jerusalem churches suffered from the Jews, who killed Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out." And so the Christians of Thessalonica were left there by Paul, buried under false accusations and threats and rejections. Their whole world had collapsed around them just because of their faith in Christ. And now they're crying out. And what does Paul do for these people that he loves so much? For these people who are suffering, who are being persecuted, he prays for them. Now, of course, Paul would have done anything that he possibly could have done to help these people in other practical ways to get them some kind of relief from the persecution that they were undergoing. But his very first instinct, of course, is to pray for them. And what can we do when a Christian friend is crying out from a place of pain or loss, when their world has caved in around them, when an earthquake called cancer or divorce or unemployment or death has rocked their world and buried their dreams? How do we help? Well, we can pray. Pray like Paul. Pray what? Well, of course we pray the obvious. We pray for a speedy deliverance, relief from the suffering. And I am sure that Paul prayed that prayer for the Thessalonians, very much as the Christians in Jerusalem prayed for Peter when Peter was in prison, that he would be released. But so often, that's where our prayer stops. We can't think of anything else to pray about. Lord, so-and-so is in trouble, so would you please get them out of this trouble? Amen. And that's all we can think to pray. But prayer should go so much deeper than that, as Paul teaches us. First of all, we can pray that those who are suffering would grow in their faith. That's how Paul prayed. He said, night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, the verb here, to supply, literally means to mend. It's the same verb that St. Mark uses when Jesus called James and John, and at the time, James and John were mending their nets. It's the same verb, and it's so fitting in this situation. Paul knows that these Thessalonians, they do have faith, and he has already commended them for their faith earlier in this letter, but he also knows their faith is under pressure. And anyone's faith who is under pressure needs mending constantly. It's not a surprise, is it? I mean, whose faith isn't lacking in some way when their world is being rocked? And whose faith doesn't need careful mending when the whole world is tearing away at it? This is true of every Christian, even in the best of circumstances, but it's especially true when the world is hating on you for your faith, when your life has caved in around you, when your problems have buried you alive. Your faith needs to be shored up, lest Satan gain a foothold and shred your faith to pieces and destroy you. So, when you know a fellow Christian, someone you love, a friend, who is struggling under the weight of crushed dreams, the first thing that they need is a stronger faith that they may endure their trials. And that should be the focus of your prayer for them. But secondly, you can also pray that their suffering would increase love in them. That's how Paul prayed for the Thessalonians. He says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. And I know perhaps that's not the very first thing you think of praying about when someone you love is crying out for help and hurting, that they would increase in love. But maybe you can think about it this way. After the financial crisis of 2008, maybe you remember this, President Obama's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, said, "You never want a serious crisis to go to waste." And he was vilified by many for saying this. And then he said, and what I mean by that is a crisis is an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before. Now, Rahm Emanuel was using that phrase at the time to justify spending trillions of dollars to stimulate the economy back to health. which they never could have done were it not for that crisis. Now, I don't want to get into whether or not that was good policy. That's not the point. But the larger point has merit, that crisis is an opportunity for us to grow, to become better people, more patient, more empathetic, more loving, and more understanding. Think about what Paul said to the Corinthians, that God who comforts us in our troubles so that we may be able to comfort others in their troubles with the same comfort we received. And Martin Luther once made the comment to the effect that one person who has been tested by the fire of their trials would be more effective in ministry than 1,000 people who have not been so tested. And why? Because the testing of faith produces good things in us. As St. James says, it produces patience, as well as all kinds of godly fruits in our lives, including love and compassion and mercy. Our trials produce in us the likeness of Christ. A crisis, a life earthquake, can be a powerful catalyst for change for the better. And so we should pray about that. I've seen this happen in many people's lives, and you've probably seen it too. So when someone you care about is hurting, when their life has collapsed around them and they feel buried under their problems, don't just pray for their speedy deliverance, but let's go a little deeper than that. Let's pray that if they must endure this crisis, that it would not go to waste and have no beneficial effect in their lives. Let's pray that if they must endure this hardship, as Hebrews says, that they would endure it as the Lord's discipline and would be trained by it to produce even more fruits of righteousness as a result. All things work together for good to those who love God. You believe that, don't you? So then pray that the trials of the Christian would produce a good effect in them, that their earthquakes would be an occasion for them to increase in love for other people to overflowing, because that's how Paul prayed for the Thessalonians. And then third, we can also pray that those who suffer would become secure in their hope. So Paul says to the Thessalonians, "May he strengthen your hearts, so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes with all his holy ones, his saints." You see, these Thessalonians were down and out. And when somebody is down and out, when they're going through tough times, what do they need more than anything? They need to see the big picture. They need to see that after all of this turmoil and all of this grief and the pain and the sadness and the sorrow, that after all of this, God has a plan. And that when Christ comes again with all of his holy ones, he is going to bring us into God's presence, blameless and holy on his account. And this is the stuff that strengthens our hearts. The certain hope that after Good Friday comes Easter, that after the cross comes the resurrection, and that after death comes life. And on that day of his coming, we will be counted righteous for the sake of Christ, to be with him forever. And when that hope fills you, when you can see that big picture of what God is doing, you can endure anything that the world throws at you, which is what Paul really meant when he said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." 5 days after that massive earthquake in China, rescue workers found the dead body of a woman in a kneeling position, her back hunched up, and she was supporting on her back the crumpled ceiling above her. Her hands were planted firmly into the muddy ground. Well, the rescue, she was gone. So the rescue workers started walking away to tend to other people when one of them had a hunch. And he went back to this dead woman's body, reached under her body, and there in a tiny shelter that she had created with her body was a baby. 3 months old, alive and unhurt and sleeping. And inside the baby's clothing was a cell phone. Google this, look it up. It's a touching story. And on this cell phone, the mother had left a message for her child. Dear baby, if you survive, please remember that I love you forever. Friends, Jesus took the full brunt of our sins and mine. He experienced the ultimate earthquake from hell. All the weight of our shame and our guilt and our failures came crashing down on him, and it killed him. But his death saved us. And now he says, dear child, remember, I love you forever. And when someone you love is going through a hard time, when their world has collapsed around them, pray for them. Pray for them that they would become secure in this hope of our faith. The hope that Christ is going to come again and restore everything that we have lost. Pray that the hope would be restored in them, that all of these years of pain are going to be erased, that every tear of disappointment is going to be wiped away, that the spouse that was snatched away from you by disease is going to run up into your arms again, and that the health that eluded you in the winter of your life will be restored to you a thousandfold in the spring of your resurrection. Pray that the hope would be secure in them, that the friends and the family of ours that have died in the faith are going to sit next to us again, singing praises forever. So when it comes to helping people who are crying out in pain, people who have been crushed by life's earthquakes, who are barely hanging on by a thread, and whose silent cries are ongoing and seemingly endless, pray for them. But don't just pray the obvious. Yes, do pray that. Pray for relief for them from their pain. Pray for a speedy deliverance. But let's go a little deeper than that too. Let's pray that if they must endure this trial, that they would grow in their faith, that they would increase in their love, and become secure in Christian hope. Because that's how Paul prayed. And we can do no better. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.